You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone. This is the D-Rays Bay Playoff Podcast Series. I'm Brett Rutherford. Joining me on tonight's Instant Reaction Podcast for Game 1 of the ALDS is Danny Russell and Jim Turvey. The Rays and the Yankees just wrapped up Game 1. The Yankees took it 9-3. And, gentlemen, we did a couple wins last week. Those were fun. Those were fun podcasts. Tonight, I have a feeling it's not going to be so much fun. A game that was very entertaining going into the ninth inning. It was a one-run game. The Yankees had the lead. Ultimately put up a five spot against Mr. John Curtis out of the Rays' bullpen, and that blew this one open, and they take game one of the series. Lots of questionable decisions from the manager, Kevin Cash, and we're going to talk about those. But Blake Snell versus Gerrit Cole was the matchup tonight, and neither guy was on their best game. A lot more runs in the first five innings than I think a lot of people would have expected. Jim, I'll start with you. Thoughts on Blake Snell's outing tonight?
I think it says a lot about how far he's come, that this is, when he's as off as he is, it's still not the worst outing in the world. And if he was treated like he would be on a normal night, we're looking at not a loss, but a no decision, having given up three earned. I don't think you can really hang that final homer on him. So he certainly wasn't the ace we're looking for. There wasn't a lot of swing and miss stuff at all. Maybe that's the most troubling takeaway for me. But to be able to kind of grind to keep you in a game against Cole, I think when it's not your best outing, I don't really hang this one on Snell in particular. Mm-hmm.
Danny, any thoughts? I'm sure you have a ton.
Of course. I mean, Snell, I agree. We got four solid innings out of Snell in a fifth inning that Cash was clearly just comfortable allowing to happen. It wasn't like last week where Snell's fastball was everything. Tonight, it was easily seen by Yankees hitters. The curveball was not its special capable self. So really he had to turn to the changeup, and he used the changeup to great effect. We saw him use it when the bases were loaded with two outs in the fourth inning, and he dropped the changeup in right at the top of the zone to get out of there later, and used the changeup to end the fifth inning, and that was outside to the hitter instead of at the top of the zone. He was able to command that for the strikes when he needed it most. And I think that's what Snell needs, at least one go-to pitch, and he should give you a good outing. And when Snell has all his pitches clicking, then you get a Cy Young. Tonight was not a Cy Young outing, but that's okay. The thing that was surprising was that the fifth inning.
Mm-hmm. And we've got to talk about that decision to leave him in. Yeah, Diego Castillo warming. The Rays were in the lead. It was pretty clear that Snell did not have his best stuff. And Cash sends him out back for the fifth to face the number nine hitter, Higashioka, the Yankees catcher. Higashioka hits a massive home run. Yeah. I don't think anyone was expecting that. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to lose sleep over that at bat. But then to leave him out there to face the top of the Yankee order, he gets LeMahieu out, but then Aaron Judge gives the Yankees the lead. With a line drive shot to left field. And that was the last time. The Yankees never turned back from there. So that's the decision. Like, you had Diego Castillo warming. And it's not even that whether, like, I don't even want to debate whether or not leaving Snell out there was the right or wrong decision. I think it was the wrong one. But what bothers me is that this was so out of the norm from the type of decision-making we've seen from Kevin Cash and the way he's managing his bullpen. And even though it's a playoff series, even though it's a different format, Kevin Cash went against the grain, like his own thought process that we've seen time and time again over these last few seasons, by pulling the pitcher before the big hit, not letting him go a third time through the order, especially when they're not on their best night. That's what happened tonight, and it came back to bite him. It came back to bite the team. And ultimately, I don't think it was the right decision. And hopefully the Rays can bounce back tomorrow night, but I don't know.
It was a bit awkward, wasn't it? We are used to a hyper-aggressive Kevin Cash, even in the regular season. When it came to the first run of the playoffs, when every game felt like an elimination game because it was only a three-game series, we saw Nick Anderson pitching for his life, right? We saw the best the Rays had to offer in those two games against the Blue Jays to make sure that a game like this did not happen. Mm-hmm. Tonight, yeah, the first of five. Yeah, the opposite.
I'd love to hear what Cash's post-game comments are, but to me it read exactly like kind of what the consensus is going to be, is that he kind of got a little too cute with the no days off. I think they really are putting a point of emphasis on that, given how they used the bullpen the rest of the game, and that's maybe another thing we'll touch on briefly, is really saving every single bullet. That's the good news and the bad news, to a certain extent, is it looks like even in a one-run deficit, they were not willing to put in any of their big arms. And it seemed like Cash wanted to steal every single out he could out of Snell. And that's like you guys both said, it's out of the ordinary. It's not what the Rays have done so successfully this year. And it's kind of a bummer, honestly. We've gotten so accustomed to Cash pulling the strings in a way that kind of aligns with how most fans are going to view it there, and to have it on a big stage like this. Maybe it got in his head a little bit, maybe they had an overarching plan and couldn't quite adjust, but it seemed to really be against what he usually is doing.
Yeah, and the main talking point has been no off days. They're going to be playing Monday through Friday if this series goes five, and then right after that the ALCS starts on Sunday. There's no off days there either. But that's part of the reason there's a 28-man roster. That's part of the reason we have 14 pitchers on the roster now. And, yeah, you're going to manage games a little differently. Yeah, it's the postseason. But I don't know. Again, that's the decision he made. It felt like, I'm not saying this is what actually happened, but it felt like the Rays were punting on this game, a very winnable game. And part of the reason it was so winnable was because the bats got to Gerrit Cole. Once again, Randy Rosarena, G-Man Choi, both writing themselves into Rays folklore. G-Man Choi already was. But again, another G-Man Choi home run off of Gerrit Cole. He had really good numbers against Gerrit Cole coming into this game, even though, you know, it was like, I think, 17 plate appearances, but had like three home runs. Picks up another one tonight. And G-Man Choi, does he own Gerrit Cole?
I think that's definitely the positive that you take away from it, is Cole didn't look like he really had the Rays on lock. I mean, there was a lot of hard contact off him all night. He got his strikeouts. The Rays will be fine with that. But if it does come down to a game five, I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, but if we have to face Cole again and it's going to be on short rest, the bats were there tonight. And that's why it makes it even more of a bummer that Cash couldn't quite pull the trigger there. But I think to focus on the positives for a second is all the bullets are saved. Looking at the series to start, you would have said game one, Cole fully rested, is probably the toughest matchup for the Rays. So not to kind of let them off the hook here, but that's maybe the game that you would say, all right, a one run loss is fine. And so I think if we zoom out and kind of can just wipe out that ninth inning, now whether that can be wiped out in the minds of both teams is another question, but I think there are positives there for sure.
The NBA playoffs are back, and on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk? Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, Let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Cash just hanging the rookies out to dry in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah, poor John Curtis, right?
Yeah, 30 minutes of just suffering on the mound for John Curtis.
Yeah, that was rough. But like, it was a one-run game. You had Hunter Renfrow on the bench, probably coming in for Kiermaier to hit in the ninth against Aroldis Chapman, who in the past the Rays have had some success against. And it seemed like a winnable game at the time. And I would have preferred to see the A bullpen, one of the guys, either Castillo, who I wish we had seen in the fifth, or Nick Anderson pitch in that.
Who was then, warming.
Who was warming up, yeah. And they go with Curtis. And I want to hear Cash to defend that. And I'm not here to knock Kevin Cash for 20 minutes on this podcast because...
Well, while we're knocking Cash, I have one more.
Okay, go for it.
He did a series of strange choices because another one that I jotted down here in the moment too was... The I think it was bottom of the fifth, bases loaded. So that they had just given up the lead. Now there's two outs, bases loaded.
Is this Margot?
And Margot is up and no pinch hit there. And he's been so aggressive.
If you were going to pinch hit with Austin Meadows at some point, pinch hitting him in the catcher slot later, only to put Michael Perez back in the same spot, so Meadows only gets one at bat, was so strange anyway.
You're not going to find a higher leverage point than that.
No, what other opportunity in this game were you going to have for a left-handed hitter to come in and do some damage? It was a very strange idea to leave Margot in. I guess you're just trying to protect the defense.
Right.
This is Meadows' first game back from his oblique injury.
Margot's played in Petco
3 weeks.
A lot.
Margot should have been comfortable. Then again, Margot also had the error. was not scored an error. I think it was scored a double. But
it was scored a double.
Off of his mitt. The vibes were off in this game, man.
Yeah.
But they weren't though. Like, it was a one run game, and that's why, like, watching that ninth inning, watching everything unravel, like, this was a winnable game. This was a game the Rays were in the lead in the fifth inning.
Sure.
You know, going into that inning, and it's tough to swallow this as like a game that we had to punt, a game that the broadcast was talking about bringing in a position player at one point after Shane McClanahan walked. Let's talk about Shane McClanahan. Major league debut.
Welcome
gets his opportunity.
Show.
That's cool. Only first ever pitcher, I think, to make his major league debut in the postseason. Yep. Incredible stuff. Not really the situation that I think he or the fans were hoping for coming in a game that was all but over. But good to see him. He was bringing the heat and looked a little nervous, as he would be. But overall, I thought really, really nice to see Sugar Shane McClanahan out there.
Yeah, it was nice to see that he could throw the high octane stuff. Not always for a strike. you know, the situation has a lot to do with it. It was kind of a mess anyway, the game, the team. So seeing him come in and kind of like struggle with his command or have a pop up where then he gets tackled like it's an NFL game. Now I'm aware that two NFL games also happened tonight, but Brandon Lau didn't have to do that to Sugar Shane. Didn't have to do him dirty like that.
Ran him over. But overall, even though this game was not a fun one, I am not panicking about this series yet, especially with the matchup tomorrow. Real quick thoughts on that before we wrap this up. Tyler Glasnow versus Davey Garcia. The Rays should be heavily favored in this one. I mean, not when I say heavily, probably like minus 170 on the money line.
I mean, the Rays are in the number one seed. Let's not get this wrong.
Well, they were underdogs in the series, according to Vegas.
But that gets weighed by how many Yankee fans are out there betting.
Right. True. Good point.
But let's also consider what the Yankees did tonight was also, in its own way, historic. And I don't think we're going to see the Yankees continue to be historic after tonight. So if you want to feel good about something, this was only the fifth time in postseason history that a team scored 9 runs in 3 straight games. The last team to do that was the 2008 Rays.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So the Yankees have had a good run of 3 games, but also 11 home runs in 3 games, in 3 postseason games. 11 home runs is the most ever for a 3-game stretch in the playoffs. The Yankees can't keep this up.
So I look at it 2 ways. I think you can come out of this glass half empty, glass half full. I think the glass half empty is, honestly, I didn't see a lot of swing and miss from that Yankee lineup. They looked pretty locked in. But like Danny said, is that a 3-game stretch or is that the real thing? There are some good bats in that lineup, but those bats can also get cold. Stanton and Judge, as hot as they can run, can also go pretty cold. And I think tomorrow will be a pretty good case study of how they handle a righty instead of a lefty in Glasnow and someone and the Rays top bullpen guns. If it's a close game, we're going to get to see Castillo, Anderson, and Fairbanks. All 3 are there. Cash knows this is more than a 1-game series. This isn't a 1-game wild card. We still got to take 3 out of 4, which is a big number, but I'm not panicking either. And I think game 2, even if CB Buckner's behind home plate and throwing a little chaos in the mix, I still feel good about the Rays' chances.
Wait, so glass half empty or glass half full? What is your glass now?
Oh,
oh no. I think that it's past midnight. I think we all need to go to bed after that one. But Danny mentioned how the Yankees are making history. Randy Rosarena making history. The first Rays player ever in postseason history with back-to-back 3-hit games. And he's a star. We keep saying it. He is a star.
He's the way we need to close. Fangraphs today called him the not-so-secret weapon of the Rays team, right? Randy Rosarena is putting on a show. If the postseason continues or not, I'm just glad we got to see Randy do his thing.
And Jim and I have been talking about him since March.
I
love to see that. But that is going to do it tonight for our Instant Reaction podcast. We'll be back tomorrow night after game 2. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Danny and Jim for hopping on tonight. If you want these Instant Reaction podcasts downloaded directly to your device, make sure to subscribe to our podcast feed. And make sure to go to draysbay.com and check out all the great postseason coverage throughout this 2020 run. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Love you, Randy.